Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
There's a way about dealing with things in our life, right? There's a way with dealing. So God brings up things in our lives, but there is a way to deal with it, right? There's a way to deal with it. And let me start by saying this. God doesn't tell you something about a relationship in your life or something that's going on in your life or about something that you know, like Pastor Mike was just praying about, that's not godly in your life. And then he doesn't look to you and say, okay, there it is. Now you fix it. Okay? You do something about that. Right? Because if that were the case, then our obedience would be to hear God tell us what to do and then for us to do it. And if we live like that, then we're under the law. Right, because that's what the law is, right? God would say, don't do this, and it would be up to the people to not do it. The correction of God doesn't mean put you down, time to feel guilty, and now fix your issue. And you'll see it. You'll see it here today. So let's go ahead and let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, right? And we thank the Lord, right, that He'll speak into our lives, right? That He'll speak to our hearts and that we're hearing Him, right? So Galatians chapter 3, just verse number 1 is fine. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Thank you, Lord, right? That there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? No guilt. No guilt. If you're feeling guilty, that's not from God, right? Guilt is not from God. Condemnation is not from God. Thank you, Lord. All right. So verse number 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey what I said? That you didn't obey what I told you to do and you didn't do it. It says, why did you not obey the truth? Why have you not obeyed the truth, right? So obeying the truth is what? Obeying the truth is hearing what the Lord is saying and believing it. Right? Hearing what the Lord is saying and believing it. Now that's so, listen, please hear, right, what the Lord is saying to you. That's essential in the life of a believer, right? Because that's the only way that you can live. And that's the only way that you can walk. And that's the only way that God wants you to live. And that's the only way that God wants you to walk. The hearing of faith is obeying the truth. Right? The Lord said that we should walk by what? Faith. That's how you live. The Lord, if we're gonna live, He said, live by faith, right? That's how we're to live, and that's how we're to walk. So faith only comes from one place, we know, and it comes from hearing. So know that God does not burden us with anything other than, right, the fact that He just wants us to hear. The Lord said, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden. What do people normally get weary over? Carrying burdens that the Lord Jesus has already carried, right? Carrying burdens that the Lord Jesus has already carried. So He says, come to me, you that are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest, for you'll find rest. See, when you come to Jesus, you find rest for your soul, not weight for your soul. When you come to Jesus, you find relief for your heart, not pressure and oppression in your soul, right? That's not what we find with Him. So he says, who has bewitched you, or who has talked to you, or who has taught you anything that would make you to not just simply obey the truth, obey what the Lord is saying to you, right? And obedience of truth is believing what He says, right? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. So He talks about obeying the truth, and then He brings the cross into it. Why? Because that is the obedience of our truth, right? Is the cross, right? The apostle said, forgetting all things except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If what is on your mind right now is anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we're not dealing with the problems in our lives the way God wants us to deal with them, right? If you're not dealing with your problems by being strong in the Lord, but you're trying to be strong in yourself, you'll fail. You'll fail. You'll be hitting that same wall all the time. Because you know what He said, and we went through this last service, and it's just good, right? In Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord says, He says, my beloved brethren, He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Right? So where is the power of God? The power of God is the gospel, right? The power of God is in us hearing the things that He has done, beholding Him as He is, so you can see yourself as He is. Because you know what He said about you? As He is, so are you in this world. As He is. And He is high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. He's been lifted above all power and principality and dominion, and every name that is named, that's where He is, right? And if He is above death, and if death no longer has any dominion over Him, right? And as sin has no dominion over the Lord Jesus, right? He says, so also reckon yourself also indeed to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God as He is alive unto God, right? The same way. So he says, this only, verse number two, I want to learn from you. Did you receive by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, how did you start? How did salvation come to you? Did salvation come to you by the hearing of faith or by the working of the law? Were you saved because you were so good? Were you saved because you did everything right? Or were you saved because you obeyed the truth? You see where he keeps coming back? You were saved. Your life began by obeying the truth. Let me bring to you something. That's the bear. That's the bear. There is a bear, there's a lion, and there's a giant. That's the bear, right? You were saved. That's how you began. That's how you started, right? That's how the Lord manifested His work in your life, was by saving you while you were still a sinner, right? And you heard what the Lord said. Right? Sin, righteousness, and of judgment. You heard what the Lord said and you obeyed. What obedience? What did you do to be saved? You believed what He said. You believed what He said. Look at what He says then. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, are you so foolish having begun? Can you say that with me, please? Having begun. Just one more time. Having begun. Listen, that's why the Lord says, go back to your first love. Go back to your first love. How did you begin? How did you begin? You began by the hearing of faith. Why would we burden ourselves with any other way of defeating anything, of overcoming anything in our lives, of having victory in any other way other than just obeying the truth, which is faith? Listen, finish this with me if you can, right? This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That's it. This is the victory, he says, that overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world. Every time you hit a problem, right? You want to know that there's victory. Every time you come to a problem, you want to know that there is victory. And that is exactly what God gave you, was victory, right? So He wants you to see how victorious you are in Christ, right? Because the Lord says that He leads us in a triumphant procession, that's what our life is. Leading us, He leads us in triumph. He's not trying to get us into triumph. You are already a victor, right? You are already walking with Him and following Him in triumph. You're not trying to get victory. But if we don't know the victory of the Lord Jesus, and we don't know what He accomplished through the cross, and we don't know the death of our flesh and the circumcision that Pastor Mike was talking about, we'll live like we're not victorious, right? But there's only one way. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith. He says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? So the Lord gives a bear into your hand. He delivers a bear into your hand. And then the second thing that comes around is a lion, and you're going to take that on your own. Right? And then when a giant comes, you figure, no, I got this. Right? But it's not going to work out that way, right? Because what he says is the way you began. If David were to have done that, the Lord would have told him, are you so foolish? Do you actually think that you defeated the bear? Is that what you think? Do you think that you took the bear on your own? But what did he know? What did he know when he saw Goliath? He knew what? The same God that delivered the bear and the lion into my hand will deliver this uncircumcised, right? What was it that Pastor Mike was mentioning about the circumcision? You are the circumcision, right? You are the circumcision. So if there is anyone, right, and we were mentioning this on Friday, right? If there is anyone that God is for, He is for the circumcised. The Lord has always been for the circumcised, right? The Lord was for Abraham, who was a man of faith, right? And the Lord is for you, right? The Lord is for you. And anything and everyone that comes against you is against Him, right? It's just good to know. It's just good to know. So look at what he says. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, right? So let me show you something. Let's go to Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 11. If you let it, the Lord will bring you joy. If you let it and you just hear, right, the Lord will bring you to rejoicing by the time this service is done. He'll bring you to rejoicing. What you are suffering is not unlike what other people suffer. Right? But there's one way to deal with it, and the Lord is going to tell you today how to deal with it. Actually, can we do Hebrews 11:39, and then we'll go right into chapter 12, right? Because that's the last verse in chapter 11, and then we'll go right into 12. So 39, Hebrews 11:39 says, and all these, speaking of, let me, can I just say it? Speaking of all of the victories of men of faith. All that you see in chapter 11 are men that saw, were victorious and overcame and did all of these things, and just all of them have something in common. It was all the exact same way that they did everything that's written here. Everything that was done, everything that they did was all the same way. It was by faith. And here's what he says. He says, all these then that we just mentioned, having obtained the good testimony through faith, it says, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us, right? Right? Speaking about the Spirit of God. And then verse number 1 of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, of people that said there is only one way. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus and faith in Him. There is only one way. He says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, He says, let us lay aside every weight. What were we just talking about? A weight is anything that is in your mind and in your heart that's telling you that's the way to deal with that problem. That is anything other than Christ and Him crucified. If it is anything other than through faith in Jesus and in His finished work, it is a weight. That is a weight, right? In other words, it's a burden that when you come to the Lord, He removes it. Why? Because He speaks to you about what He's done, and therefore that weight can fall off, right? Because there are just things that we've learned throughout the years and ways that we hear about people dealing with their problems on the internet and on blogs and on this and that, and things that people do that have supposedly worked for them. Because you know what? There's a lot of people testifying that something has given them happiness and given them joy, and it really hasn't given them all the happiness and the joy that they advertise that it's done, right? But they speak about it like it's a great thing because they want a platform. But the reality of it, can I tell you, is there is only one way for victory in our lives, and it is only through faith in Jesus. And it says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses to that truth, he said, let us set any weight, right, any burden, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance or perseverance. That means the continuance in the obedience to the truth, right? Continuing to listening to His voice and seeing no other way and seeing no other plan B, and that don't look at anything else as a way to be able to deal with the problems in life, because He has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. That pretty much covers everything through the knowledge of Jesus, right? He's given you everything that you need for life. Given, meaning that you have that harvest on the inside of you. Why are we here, right? Because the Lord has called us to do what? To teach people to be able to partake and take from the harvest that is in them, right? From the life that Jesus came to give, because He came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Therefore, we have an abundance of life within us that we can partake from. If He didn't give it, then what He said in John 10 was not true. Because He didn't come to give life and life abundantly and then left with it, right? But He gave you life, right? By His Spirit, He gave you. He gave you His own life. So He says, for us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, and He tells us, listen, the way to do it. The way to take care of a bear, a lion, and even a giant. The way to take care of a bear, a lion, and even a giant in your life, He says, is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross for you, right? Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it brings your eyes to where He is today. seated today, because as he is now, so are you in this world. So when we talk about the things that the Lord has done for us, and the cloud of witnesses that we talk about, you know, Paul even said, he talked about imitation, and he says that, we would imitate him. And we talked about this, you know, the Lord brought this up many services ago, about that imitation is the imitation of faith in Jesus. So that if you see and you hear, right, and the Lord reveals to you the faith of all of these men and women that received a good report because of only one thing, faith in Jesus. Then when you think, you know, when you, as you're living and you're coming across things, and you're coming across things in, with relationships with other people, and you come across things in your life, and you come across things in your finances, and you come across things in all of the things that's going on with you, how, you know, if you say to yourself, Lord, how do I deal with this problem? What do I do, Lord? How do I deal with this problem? Let me show you something. If we could go then, can we go back to where we were in Galatians 3 real quick, and just to verse number 11, just to read something real quick. So can you look at this where he says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. Right? In other words, what he's saying is that the fact that nothing works, the fact that nothing else is doable, the fact that there is no other way to righteousness, no other way to living right, no other way at all. He says the fact that it's definitely not through just do's and don'ts and the law and then us doing our best to keep it. He says that's evident. And what he's saying is, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see, right? In other words, it's written in the Word of God for us so that we can see the victory of people, right? That just simply put their faith in Jesus, right? That simply put their faith in Jesus and nothing else, right? And here it says, he says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith, right? For the just shall live by faith. So every single time that you hear that, hear what the Lord has been teaching you, right? About hearing me, right? Because the just shall live by faith means that the just shall live by hearing, because that's where faith comes from, right? We don't live our lives trying to manufacture faith. We just live our lives by the obedience of faith, which is hearing, right? So now let's go ahead and go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Right? 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 33. And he says, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. But you know what he's doing there? What he's saying is the same way that God delivered those two, he'll deliver him. So what he saw is, he didn't see the circumstances in his life as anything, as one thing more major than another. We categorize problems in our life, right? Like, this is a really big problem, and this is a real little problem. And if we, you know, I had somebody telling me today, it was yesterday, the day before, you know, that there's a lot of things going on with his body, right? And that, you know, if the pain in his back is greater than the pain that he has in his neck, then what happens is the pain in his neck is actually lessened, almost like it's not there. Right? So what we do is we categorize by gravity, right, the things in our lives, and we say, you know, it's almost like, you know, my back hurts so much, so you could just walk around with a hammer, right? And this is what I just told him kind of jokingly. So if you walk around with a hammer and just slam your finger every single time something hurts, then you'll be good, right? Because you'll be fine, right? Or else, right, you could just believe the Lord and just be healed, right? But instead what we do is we go from problem to problem. In other words, Lord, if you could just take care of this one thing, Lord, everything else is okay. I can take care of that. But if you can take care of this one thing, but there's no difference to God between a bear, a lion, and a giant, right? There's no difference to him. It's all the same. It's all the same thing. And the way that you started by the Spirit of God is the same way you live, right? We didn't get started one way and receive the greatest gift of all our lives, right? The Spirit of the living God, and we're saved and translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son by faith, and somehow we can do something greater than that by ourselves, right? It's not the way it works, right? The way that you were saved, the Lord is saying, He calls that foolishness, right? He says to the Galatians, are you so foolish? You began by the Spirit, now you're trying to do it on your own? Right? So the Lord delivered a bear into their hands, but they got the lion and the giant, you know? We have this, no problem. They'll be killed, right? They'll be killed. You don't take on a giant, a 9.5-foot-tall giant by yourself, right? It's not wise, but to know, you know what, Lord? It is the covenant, my Father, that I have with you. We are people of covenant and people that have a God, right? People that know that, you know what, the things that happen in our lives, they matter to God. And the things of the people that come against you, right? God takes that personally against Himself, right? Listen, why would God deliver? I mean, and I said this on Friday, but it's just so true, right? That God doesn't have a personal vendetta against bears and lions and 9.5-foot-tall men, right? He doesn't have a personal thing against them, right? But what happens? Over and over again, you know what David said? The reason why this is going to happen, and you'll hear in a second, I'll read it to you, but he said, you have defied the armies of the living God. You're the one that did wrong. You're defying God, therefore God will take care of Himself, right? So when someone defies a child of His, right? When someone defies you, when something comes to hurt you, when something comes to come against you and your home, you have to understand, right? You have a Passover lamb. You're not like this person all by yourself wandering around the world hoping that it's going to get better until you get to heaven, right? It's not the way it is. You are an heir, and you are a joint heir with Christ. He has made you kings and priests unto God. Kings and priests unto God He has made you. So he says, he says, when it came after me, he said, well, verse number 35, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. And you may be saying, well, you know what? It looks like he's the one that did all that stuff. Right? It looks like he did it, right? Because that's how he's telling the story. Like, I did this, right? But keep listening to him then. So your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. It's not that he's insulted me, David said. It's not that he's trying to insult and he insulted my brothers, and because my brothers are in the military and they're in the army, I'm going to just make sure that I come out against you because I don't want you to hurt my family. He said, you have defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord... See, now he corrects. So for those that were hearing what he was saying, for King Saul, because remember, he's talking to a king, right? It's a king that he's talking to. A king that has a God also, but doesn't acknowledge the God of Israel. Even though, because King Saul was making himself. Even though God appointed him, King Saul was making himself. He wasn't allowing God to do it in him. Right? So it says here, it says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. Who delivered him from the paw of the lion? The Lord did that. Now he said, I killed it, I struck it, I did this. But who was it that was operating in him? God was. Right? God was. God was doing that. It says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. He clothed David with his armor, and he put on a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk. So here's the problem. So what they're doing there is, that's the burden of the world, right? That's a problem coming to you, and you say, no, Lord, how can I fix this problem? So you clothe yourself with the ways of the world. You clothe yourself with a way, that is not tested and that is not profitable. Right? Because in Hebrews 11 we read and we started there. Why? Because there you see what has been tested and what is profitable. Faith in Jesus is tested, tried, and true. It's profitable, right? But here what he's doing is, even though David has explicitly explained to him, it's the Lord that did this. He says, no, but you need this, and you need this, and you need this, and you need this, and you need this. Right? But so what does he try to do? David fastened it and he tried to walk, right? Listen, these words, people, I know that you know this, these words are not in here by mistake, right? He tried to walk in it, right? The Lord has shown you and told you how to walk, right? Let me show you something. We're going to come, we'll pop right back in here. We'll pop right back into there. Let me just show you. We'll stay here. Can you bring us real quick just Galatians 5 and verse number 24? Galatians 5 and verse number 24. You know, can I tell you something? Do you see, and if you could almost hear, right? The Lord just showing you. Do you see worry in David's words? Like worry. He's about to come across a 9.5-foot tall giant in front of the entire Philistine army and before the entire army of Israel. One shepherd boy who's not even been trained in war, right? All of these men of the military, right? He goes in front of them, and the only thing that people would be able to deduce from that boy after he's done is that the Lord God is with that boy, right? Because he has no other power, he has no strength, he has no other way. If he would have walked out there with that armor, if he would have came out with a big... Listen, it would have been awesome if David would have just taken a spear and just thrown one spear and hit him right between the eyes with a spear. But they would have said what? The spear killed him. It was just a lucky throw. But it was a little stone, right? It was a little stone he threw to a 9.5-foot tall man, right? With a little sling, right? How do you kill a man that large with a stone, a round, smooth little stone between the eyes, right? But you know, it was told him. Listen, it wasn't just that he said and what he did. It's that the Lord spoke through that man and he prophesied what he would do. And the Lord brought to pass every single thing to a T of what he said he would do. He brought it to pass. Look at what he says. He says, I can't walk in these. He puts it on. He feels uncomfortable. He says, I'm going out to do this thing, Lord. You're with me, right? You're going to do this, but what's this? What's all this other stuff, right? What's all this other stuff? He says, in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's an armor that you don't want to use. The flesh is armor you don't want to use. If you want to know what armor to use, you can listen to the previous, right, the previous service, and it's in Ephesians chapter 6, right? That's the armor of God that you want to use. And you have that. You have that armor. Because in your spirit, you are just like Him. So you have that armor. You have to put it on, right? The way the Bible says to put on Christ, right? Put on who you are, which is just another way of saying receive up. Is it interesting that it says that, right? Receive up. Receive up the armor of God. Receive up the armor of God. It says, if we live, look at what it says. If we live in the Spirit, how do you know that that's you that it's talking about? If you live in the Spirit, you know why? Because that's where you live. Your whole life now is the Spirit of God. You've been circumcised in your flesh. You have a mind, and your spirit has been perfectly united with the Spirit of God. There's nothing left. Right? It's just Him and you in one, right? And actually, isn't that interesting, right? That's the one thing, right, that we were praying about just before. The unity of the Spirit, right, that we have. How we are one with Him, because there's nothing else left. So look at what He says about that unity. If you live that way already, if it's already true that you're perfectly united, look what He says. Then let us walk in the Spirit. But what happened? David knew about the lion and he knew about the bear. That was done by the Spirit, not by the flesh, right? So he gets now to this giant, and Saul says, let God be with you, but you need all this help, right? You're a Christian, but you know, you got to do your part, right? How many times are you sick of hearing that, right? Right? You're a Christian, and you're saved, and God's in you, and you have the extreme power of God within you, and you're all the exceeding greatest of the power of God towards you who believe, and you have the Spirit of the eternal God living on the inside, but you do need some help, right? You got to do your own part, right? Like, how does that even fit with what the Lord teaches you, right? He put all of this on the inside of you, but you have to do your part, right? So he says, I cannot walk in these. Let's go back. I cannot walk in these. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 38. So Saul clothed David with the armor of flesh, right? He clothed him with the armor of flesh. And in verse number 39, David fastened his sword to his armor and he tried to walk, for he had not tested these. He had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, right? I live by the Spirit. I have to walk by the Spirit. I cannot walk with the flesh, right? I can't fix a problem. I can't come at this problem that way. It doesn't work. It's not tested. It's no good, right? The only thing that comes from the flesh, if you were to read that same Galatians 5, you know what you'll find? That it gives you the fruit of the Spirit when you walk by the Spirit and you use all that's within you. And then it tells you also the fruit of the flesh. We don't want none of that. The fruit that comes from the desire of the flesh, right? But thank God, right? That's what you've been freed from. So he says, in 39 again, David fastened his sword to his arm and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. You know what that that is? Laying aside the weight. Laying aside the weight. Just lay it aside. It's burdensome. It's no good. You lay it aside. You know, you feel so much, you know, like my heart goes out for people that struggle, right? Struggle because you know, you knew what that felt like to struggle with something in your flesh, right? And knew, you know what, you have no other way to fix it, but you're still struggling in your flesh. Still struggling. And you know what, if you're not struggling today, right? You're going to meet something. Listen, there is going to be a bear, there is going to be a lion, and there is going to be a giant, right? And this is something that the Lord, back, I don't know, probably the majority of you had heard this, back in 1999, the Lord prophesied that over us. He said, I'm teaching you now, he said, how to take care of a bear, a lion, or even a giant. And he said, but the time will come where you'll have to stand and reign. Isn't it interesting that in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that when you put on the armor of God, you're able to stand and withstand against all of the things of the devil, everything that would happen, right? You're able to stand and withstand. And he said, and then he talked to us about the an unpopular message that he would put on the inside of us. But he said, but a necessary message. But you know all that it is, and we found out throughout the years, all that it has ever been was just the message of the gospel. But it unfortunately is unpopular in many circles for people to hear the gospel because they want to hear other things. People sometimes actually feel better when they come to church. At least they think they feel better, right? When they come to church and they get a butt kicking and they get all about all of their problems and all about their faults and all about the things that they don't do right, and at least they came to church and they felt condemned, and now I felt condemned, so now I'm good. At least I felt like something happened, right? But isn't it so much better though to remember and to be reminded of who you are and how you deal with the problems in your life? So you know what's happening is the Lord is making the gospel popular once again, right? That people can begin to hear just that, to know, you know what, there is no other way. There is no other way. And what we learned is, you know, I was talking to the Lord about this the other day, and I said, Lord, all that time, I said, Lord, I thought that you were, when you said that, just because I never changed my mind about how I heard it initially. I'm teaching you how to take care of a bear, a lion, or even a giant. So I figured, okay, there's like these special ways that you take care of stuff like this, right? A bear, but I didn't just register it with all of the things that he's been saying. But then it was very profound, right? It was very profound, but very simple. The same way that one is taken care of by me is the same way I take care of the others. And it was all learned by what? One verse in Ephesians chapter 6 that said, be strong in me, he said, and in my power. Be strong in me. Now, don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in me. And that's the armor. Can I tell you something? If you can see those two things, and we'll stop there. If you can see those two things, the armor which could be the flesh, or the armor which is of the Spirit, right? You can put on you can try to change your own thoughts, right? By trying to think positive things, or you can allow the sword of the Spirit to take care of your thoughts. In such a way, you know what? It says the word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it cuts deep into your innermost thoughts and desires. Like, I can't do that, right? I can't go in there. I can try to remember and recollect and bring my mind back there, but I don't know how to get rid of it. Right? Because if I go in there and think about it, all I'm doing is thinking about it. I don't know how to get rid of it. I mean, if you know a secret about how to cut away a thought from your mind, tell me. But all I've ever done is when I think of a thought, I think about it again. Right? And if you say, well, I forgot. Forgot what? The thought. You just remembered. Right? So what did you forget? So the idea is only he can do that. And the awesome thing is he doesn't just make you to forget, but he replaces it with truth. So that when your mind plays a little trick on you and that thought comes back, you say, yeah, but that's not who I am. You see? So it's not about trying to forget it so you never recollect it again. It's about the truth of who you are, right? The truth about, my God, the transformation that He's made in your life. The transformation that He's made in your life. Father, we just thank You in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that Your people, Father, that these, Lord, that hear, Lord, that they would have a revelation, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, of the awesome transformation that You have made in their lives. That they would see, Lord, their flesh circumcised from themselves and then see themselves, Lord, as perfect spirits united with You. Perfect, perfect, more than just mere men. More than just mere men, but sons. And if sons, then heirs. And if heirs, then kings. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You have done. My Lord, it was not a small thing, Lord, in any respect, it was not a small thing. My God, who are You? Who has He made You? Who has He made You? Who has He made You? Did you hear Him say today? You live by My Spirit. Walk in Me then. Be clothed in Me. Be clothed in Me. That word there in the book of Ephesians, it says to be endued, to slip into a garment. To slip into a garment. Father, we have inside of us such riches and such glory. Such power of Your Spirit. Such unity with You that is unbreakable and unshakable. We have been born, Lord, of an incorruptible seed. And that Your word that You speak to us, Lord, is that seed. And it's in us, Lord. And it birthed new life within us and gave life to our spirit. In the same way, Lord, by that same seed, we proclaimed at the beginning of the service, Lord, our hearts, Lord, are good soil. So we will hear in the same way that we heard in the beginning and receive that incorruptible seed. So we hear now. So we hear now. Our hearts are good soil. We will hear it, Lord, and we have been hearing. And we accept what You say as truth. That's our obedience. And we will bring in the harvest, Lord. Bring in the harvest and take from all You have given. Bring it into our hearts and bring it into our souls and bring it into our bodies and our lives. The manifestation and the supply of Your Spirit from what You have given. And Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can put on, Lord, all that You have given. Not just keep it inside. Not just suppress it deep within. But bring it up and wear it like a garment. Like a robe. Like our armor. Like our armor, Jesus. And You will be able to withstand all the attacks of the devil. You will be able to withstand all the fiery darts. You will be able to withstand anything that would try to come against You. For You have been girded about with truth. You have a breastplate upon You that is Your righteousness that I have given You. Your feet is the peace of the preparation of the gospel. Hallelujah. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that we slip into these things, Lord, daily in our mind, just listening to You, receiving and bringing in a harvest. Father, teach us now that we would see, bringing in the harvest, putting on the armor, and being robed, Lord, all the same thing. All the same thing. Wear like a garment what He's given you, and that is walking. Wear what He gave you like a garment. Slip into it. Thank You, Jesus. And that, Lord, doesn't have to be taken off, Lord, for that has been tested. And we are surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. And thank You, Lord, for teaching our hearts, because our hearts are good soil. And we have heard it. And we have received it, Lord. And we will bring in the harvest, Lord, and take from what You have given. Thank You, Jesus, for being such a giving Savior and for loving us so much. Father, we thank You for the reconciliation that we have with You. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.